everybody. This is WTBR's Morning Drive. My name is Bill Sturgeon. I'm going to be with you for about 58 minutes today. Today I have with me someone I consider an outstanding legislator, an outstanding politician, but more importantly, a good friend. His name is John Barrett. He was mayor of North Adams. Well, let's put it this way. They named it North Adams on one day, and they named him the mayor the next, and he was there forever. He was a personal friend of John Adams, and they went to high school together. But seriously, he's now a state rep. He's the chairman of the Ethics Committee, and he just finished up as a term, or a couple of terms maybe, is on the Ways and Means Committee. He's an excellent representative, and he does so much for the people of the Commonwealth, but most especially for the people of Western Massachusetts. So what I'm going to do, so I don't hold the representative up, I'm going to put the announcements off till the end. And it's only fair that I do that. We have so many today. So without further ado, for Gua, soup du jour, my friend, the representative from the northern part of Berkshire County, Representative John Barrett. Good morning, Representative Barrett.
Good morning, Bill. Good morning to everybody that's out there. It's a pleasure to be with you this morning. We haven't been together in a while.
It's been a while. And, you know, I do want to congratulate you on your chairmanship.
Yeah, I was rather surprised by it all. I really didn't want a chairmanship, to be honest with you. I indicated that to the speaker that because it could limit the time that I'd be able to spend within the district. And I got to get rid of something here. Something on my computer went nuts. Okay. But anyways, I did want to spend more time in the district, and I felt a chairmanship would keep me out of it. But he asked me to take this, and hopefully it's one committee you hope that never meets, because it deals right with ethics and things like that, which aren't fun. But he gave good reasons for it, and it bodes well for Berkshire County and in my district to be in that position. And that's the way that I look at it. Mm-hmm. Anything I can do to help this area is corny as it sounds. That's the way I feel about it. And I hope that I've exhibited those qualities over the past several years in whatever public post that I held, which at times isn't fun, but at other times you can do so much for people. And you know, I can remember the late Tom Menino in Boston, he said to me one time, and we were actually fairly close, the smallest city with the largest city, two mayors were friendly. And he says, Barrett, he says, you got to understand it. It's all about the people. That's why we're in this business. And he's so right. A lot of that you always take away. It is something that's important. I say, I'm not a politician, I'm a public servant. And it's been fun. Let me say this much. This is now will be three terms, I guess, three plus terms in the legislature. And it's a different world from being a mayor. But I'm acclimating myself to it in a way that hopefully will, again, like I say, I represent the district that's furthest removed from the state house, the longest mileage and geographically to get there. And even though my good friend Sarah Peak on the in Provincetown claims that she drives further, I said you can hop a cherry and come a ferry and come right across that.
That's right. Yeah,
right across the tip of Cape Cod, right into Hyannis or wherever she comes in.
You're right. Politics has changed. You know, I wished just it was earlier this week. I had keep in my calendar the passing of Representative John Pignatelli, county commissioner, select person. You know, I want you to take this in the vein that's given, because, you know, I think the world of, you're of the old breed. You're of the Mr. Pignatelli breed. You're of the breed about the people. What, like Menino said, it's about the people. I think some people have lost sight of that. Maybe not in the Commonwealth, but definitely in D.C.
Yeah, it's all about not moving their agenda forward, much as moving them, their agenda being themselves is what they want to move forward. And, you know, and when I entered politics, I'll never forget the first announcements when I ran for mayor. I says, I'll never make a decision based on tomorrow's editorial and what it may say. Well, you don't say that much anymore because they don't read the editorials that much, and newspapers have faded away. But it's what it means is that you have to make decisions which are in the best interest of the people that you represent. And as I told the new mayors, I used to talk to them at orientation sessions when they came in. I said, you really don't become know you're doing a good job until they start calling you emperor and dictator and, and all this. And I said, which means that you're making decisions and hard decisions. And, but you can always tell them you're a benevolent dictator. And, but it's making those tough decisions at each and every day, on the front line. Legislator is a different, ball game completely. And it took me a few years to get, as I said before, acclimated to how the process works and everything goes. And, but I think that it's so important that you can help people, whether it's helping them with their a problem with their registry, the mass health, or whatever it may be, and trying to cut through state bureaucracy, which at times can be most frustrating. And and I'm fortunate that I have two good aides. I have one in that's centered in my Adams office, and one in Boston, and they work hard trying to get things done. For people.
Yeah. Isn't it, you know, I go back, and I'm sure you remember Sol Conte. Nan Donnelly ran his local office here in Pittsfield. And I have to tell you, and I've seen it through my years of both being on the Hill and DC and interviewing politicians and being in the radio business. Boy, staff can make or break you. I defer to our friend Smitty Pignatelli, who said, here's my philosophy and what I tell my staff. We work hard every day so we don't worry about election day. And boy, there's so much truth. And you're the same way. I mean, your nose to the grindstone, as my Irish mother used to say. And politics is a hard, rough, and sometimes dirty business this now.
Yeah, and there's a few. we think it's real when sometimes it really isn't. And but I've always felt as though you treat as though it's real, and that you do the best that you can, because you know once you're gone, they forget you. You don't even get 15 minutes of fame. And and I understand that. But the biggest thrill that I get is when people come up to me on the street and say, "Hey, I'm so-and-so, thank you, you helped my mother, thank you, you helped me," or thank you. Yeah. That's the biggest charge that I get. I mean, and I'm serious. I don't have anything to prove anymore, Bill, in that sense, other than I just get great satisfaction in helping people.
Yeah.
And sometimes, you know, you can't help everybody and it doesn't work out. But you know what? If you try, that's all they ask for, try. Yeah. You know, and just... It just galls me. We went through this electric problem this past winter. The electric rates went right through the roof. Well, I dove into it head first, and I asked my colleagues in Berkshire County to join me in it. And, you know, we went after everybody from National Grid to Eversource to Unitil to, you know, all the utilities and how that they were charging. And once I got into it, I saw that the DPU over the past several years was coming down so favorably with their decisions on the side of the utilities themselves. Yeah. Yeah. It's absurd what they were doing. You know, many communities have developed aggregation services or aggregation plans where the people can join it. Once they get a contract, everybody can join it within a community. Well, when people were leery about it at the beginning, they asked if they could go into it, say, in December, and, oh, you can switch. So they call up their local utility company and said, I'd like to switch to the company that the city of Pittsfield and North Adams has. And Come to find out, it would take them over 3 months, sometimes 3 billing cycles, to get that transferred over. At the same time, they're being charged 33 cents a kilowatt when the aggregation was only charging 11 cents, which is one third the cost.
Yeah.
If you had a $450 bill, you know, you could have saved yourself $300. Why does it take that long to do this? Why does it take that long for a community? If you're a community and you put together an aggregation system and said, okay, we've got a bidder, we got a contract, we want to award it, we want it approved by UDP, it takes 18 months.
That's
18
ridiculous.
18 months for it to happen. And there's no reason for it. And in a letter that I and my colleagues sent out in January to the DPU, say, hey, what's going on here? The oil was $140 a barrel June or July. It's now less than $78. Why are these rates still high? Why can't they be adjusted? They refuse to adjust it. Oh, no, we made a contract with them and so on and so forth. Well, guess what? The next day, the new governor switched the DPU chairman. And, you know, in the Berkshire Gas or whatever gas companies throughout the state, they reduced the rates by 4%. They just reduced it by another 6% because gas went from over $10 a cubic, whatever it is, a cubic down to $2.60. And they were still basing their rates on the old price. Well, the gas company could reduce it. Why weren't the electric companies doing the same thing? And I don't want to hear these excuses. Well, they went out to bid and they couldn't do this and that. It's malarkey. And now I think we've pushed the governor and the new chairman of the DPU is now going to revisit their rates and how they structure them so that people don't get hurt. But those are the things that are frustrating in state government and why they were allowed to happen. The excuses they come up with are just absurd. And that's what I miss about being mayor. I think the only thing is that you could say, do this, and it would get done. Now it is, well, get in line, buddy. So,
yeah. The other agency, and I'm sure you've heard it, you as a mayor, you probably experienced it, that really needs to be either retooled, restructured, or done away with, and that's civil service. I mean, having to have a vacancy for over a year before you can, it's breaking the backs, and you know this as a mayor. They got to pay. There has to be so many firefighters. There has to be so many cops on the beat. And if they don't have the bodies, they have to overtime, and then they get yelled at for their budgets. So,
well, see, that's them. Two communities in my district since I've been in have already.
We
filed legislation that allowed them to leave civil service. One was Williamstown. One was North Adams, and it's because it's so cumbersome and it's outdated. And it certainly there has to be oversight. A local community has to have it in plan. Someone's got to make sure that they follow the plan and it's fair and then there's equity and selecting the people that serve on it. Because originally it went in to save take politics out of it and it made it worse, actually.
And, absolutely.
So that is moving in that trend to get rid of it almost completely. They have a study group every year, and that they're put together, and there's legislation to file it, and it probably will happen in the very near futures. And yeah, I think even the union employees agree that it should go.
Well, today you have unions, and that's not to solve all, but it's certainly a protection that civil service used to give. Okay, now that you have the union that can file a grievance and it goes to arbitrate. So my heart goes out to the cities and towns that have civil service only because I see it here in Pittsfield. It takes forever to fill a position. And it's a thing of the past. I mean, you nailed it better than I. It had its point. It had its purpose. My dad was a firefighter under civil service, and you know, he thought it was the greatest thing since sliced bread. But I see it now. It's become archaic and cumbersome is the word, I believe.
Yeah. And like I say, the contracts that are between the bargaining units and the communities are pretty straightforward and give the same protections, if not more. And they are equitable and they're fair. And there is an always there's an appeal process in place and in arbitration and those things. So there's protections for the worker as well as for management. And it works. It works. I've always found it to work. And I had my battles over and back in the day. But but, you know, also that you try to come out of it in a better position for both sides. So, but you have to find common ground. And that seems to be so hard in politics today. If you walk the middle line, you're considered to be one who doesn't want to make a decision, you know. But by walking the middle line doesn't mean that you're a fence sitter because you'll eventually fall off it. That was Johnny Pignatelli's old line. If you sit on the fence, you'll eventually fall off. But I do believe it's but when it comes to politics, there has to be more compromise. There has to be reaching that middle ground. I wish we could see more of it in Washington. I think what's going on there is deplorable. It's scary. You know, and we've got two powers in the world looking at our country, China and Russia, is waiting to pounce on us while we're over here squabbling about stupid things that aren't addressing the needs of people. I mean, we have some major problems coming up. I believe we're going to be in a recession. I hear others that say we're not, but I do. The interest rates are going to go up. And what gets me is these economists who say, oh, we're going to not have a recession. It's going to be a mild recession. Let me tell you something. They can't even figure out that inflation isn't going down. That's all I've heard. Oh, it's gone down 2%. How can it go down 2% when a bag of potato chips that I used to buy, which I don't need, for $4.29 is now $6.49?
I just saw that. I walked by them. Funny you use that analogy because I walked by them yesterday because I refused to pay it. And
at the same time, gas prices have gone down dramatically, you know, $2 a gallon in some cases. And then we have some gas stations that were within 2 or 3 miles of each other who have price differentials of 30 cents a gallon and the same company. And they said they can't wonder why. Maybe because the regulators aren't looking at these. Maybe they're not looking at the distributors. Maybe they're not looking at the suppliers. But that's why we're having inflation in this country today. And they can pull out all of the things they want about the economics and everything. But that's what the real problem is. It just it doesn't make any sense. The same six pack of water that I bought 2 years ago at Big Y is still the same price. How come they're the same? Yet we see astronomical areas of inflation that make absolutely no sense. But guess what? The oil companies are making record money. The banks are starting to make a lot of money because you see they're still paying 1%,
right?
And on those passbooks, even though they're offering higher rates in other areas, while the interest rates are going right through the roof. But everybody seems to be making money, and the oil company, utility companies that needed these raises. I mean, last year there was millions of dollars, billions of dollars made, and they're making all kinds of money. And yet we have inflation in some areas and we don't in other areas. And it just doesn't make any sense. But when they say, oh, we got inflation under control and it's coming down and all this, it isn't because I don't see anything happening. And you know what? I'm going to give Joe Biden a lot of credit here because he's had a lot of guts to go out. And now he's saying, why does a bank charge $35 for an overdraft? Why do they charge $40 on a credit card if you're late on a late payment of 2 days or 1 day? And they're astronomical prices that that are being charged.
The interest rates on credit cards?
Oh, my God. It, let me tell you something. My grandfather's friends, when they came here, that used to be the rates when you wanted to borrow money around the corner. That's what they were charging. I think it was a crime then. Now it's not a crime.
Sanctioned. Sanctioned.
I mean, a friend of mine, he says, thank God I don't have anything. He says, they just jumped my credit card to 30%.
I heard that.
You know, and that's awful. Now, imagine that you're that's 2.5% a month that you did that on anything. So if you have $2,000, what's that up to? You know, you know, 45, 50, 60 bucks. I don't know.
I go back, John, when, you know, people say, it's only 20 bucks. I go back to when Spectrum started charging $7 for a box. Okay. And it was, we were in the Pittsfield Athenaeum in downstairs, and this older lady, and you know, I my heart went out to her. She said, $7, she said, may not seem like a lot to you, but my Social Security was, I think, around under $1,900, $800, $900, whatever. And she said, $7 to me can be the copay of a prescription or a meal or a taxi ride to get groceries. So when I hear people dismiss $7 as nothing, it's something really real to me. Something real.
And you get me going on Spectrum. You know, and you know, a lot of them call me because they remember the days when I was mayor and we used to go at it with the cable company. But local communities and the leaders there, they're signing these contracts with Spectrum. They're all up this year in Berkshire County.
Right.
And a new one goes into effect next year. They've got to do some more things on them. I have a situation. I think I'm fully prepared at some point to bring it to the attention of the local ones in Berkshire County, where Spectrum breached the contract last year and nobody picked up on it. But it goes back to my mayor days because so many people were calling me. Well, I went to the state cable commission. I asked them about certain things. They found out that they made one little mistake, which I don't want to say now, but it's clearly breached their contracts. Like Al Capone, they put him in jail for tax evasion. Spectrum has made one little mistake in the communities. Hopefully, once I notify them, they'll do the proper things that they have to do and ask for a rebate from the company on what people were charged for a certain period of time. But you see, you've got to watch them. You got to watch them carefully. I have pushed broadband in Berkshire County on the hopes that we would see more and more communities get together and provide their own internet service. Because you see, the wave of the future is going to be, everything's going to be streaming.
Right.
But unfortunately, the cable companies will survive because they're the only ones that are really streaming out here. And they have that ability. But we should be able to, in Massachusetts, there's $50 million. And I've gone toe-to-toe with the people running the MBI and others, that this $50 million is going to be spent on consultants who are going to go into communities and tell them how they can close the equitable divide, And so they're going to go in there and they're going to pay these consultants, I don't know, out of that $50 million pot, it'll probably all be gone. And then they're going to spend $145 million to implement the plans that they're going to come up with. That's great. But what about the city of Pittsfield? What about the city of North Adams? Why can't they have their own broadband system? Not cable system. Broadband system that you can buy and I can buy, or if I was a resident there or anyplace else, and it would be competitive because you're not going to bring these rates down. And yet the federal government said that when they're giving out this, we want effective competition and we want the rates brought down. And the only reason they're going to bring the rates down, all right, is with that competition. And they can do it, and it's affordable for communities. But think about it. $50 million and another 140. Yeah. That's $200 million the state of Massachusetts is getting. Why can't they put out a simple plan and say to a community, go you hire a consultant, which won't cost much, and tell us, most communities have done this already, and tell us how much it will be to connect your community with broadband. Right off the middle mile, of which the state of Massachusetts already spent $150 million to bring the middle mile all across this state. It's already there. It's in the ground.
Correct me if I'm wrong, John, but doesn't Greenfield have that service?
I believe they do. They have their own system.
I think
the town of Mount Washington has their own.
Well, there you go.
I mean, it's only 150 subscribers, but they said, we're not going with these companies. We're going to do our own.
Yeah.
But you see, they're all, it's just, I better not go too far on it because.
Be careful. Yeah. There are alternatives. There's what you're hearing. There are alternatives. I remember the days, as you do, you were mayor. Each town had a cable commission.
Yeah,
I guess they've reconstituted it here in Pittsfield, but I don't think it has any teeth anymore. It used to have teeth.
Well, it would because you see, and I sent an email out to every one of my communities, and I think only two of them have done it, maybe three, saying, listen, this money's coming down the road. Be prepared. Form a broadband committee, a cable commission, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
Be prepared for it. And when I was doing my research and my aides were doing the research on this problem with Spectrum a year ago, we went into some communities. They couldn't even find the contract for it. No. And this is where communities, and I've tried to push them that way. You just have to form these commissions for oversight. And there's no reason why. I mean, it's an area I shouldn't even be involved in. But you do need these broadband committees and you do need these cable committees, whatever they may be. And they should be at the table. I saw Pittsfield just hired a lawyer for $20,000.
Yeah.
19 grand. I'm going to tell you something. He's like the lawyer that goes in to make a deal.
Yeah.
It's going to be a waste of money.
Yeah.
I mean, but you know what? Every community will do it because they say we can't do it. You know, I hired an attorney and then I fired him. Then I hired him back and fired him again. So it's just they they're there to make a deal. Everything is weighted on the side of cable companies. No doubt about it. The federal government is giving them all kinds of things, power, I guess, and authority. They're the ones that said the FCC under the Bush administration, I believe, said that the FCC made a determination that local cable companies could not regulate.
Right. That's where we lost.
Cable or internet. Now, The same thing is happening a lot of things. It came to that boxes right after I got elected. I said, you can't, they're not allowed to increase prices on these boxes they're giving you on every TV and stuff like that.
Right.
And lost that battle because the FCC came out and made a determination. Oh, yes, they can. You see, but again, they were people that are on these commissions, just like the DPU.
Yeah,
they're the decision makers have weighted all their decisions, which are favorable to businesses. And, you know, let me tell you, I'm not a Bernie Sanders out there, but I'm telling you right now, I can see a lot of the things that he's talked about for years and how the corporations are really starting to control a lot of things, which just aren't fair for the regular people. And it's impacting a box. That box was $3 in 2017. It's now $6 or $7. I've tried to convince people to buy smart TVs and hook it right into it. But you know what? A lot from my generation, your generation. Thank God I'm a little more political savvy because of the positions I've held and I was forced to. But the others, they don't understand. What's a smart TV? How does it work? And TVs are so cheap now. Would get the cost of a $200 TV, they would get back in less than a year and a half by not having to. If you got two boxes, it's $16 a month.
That's
You
right.
know, so that's about $150 a year. You'd have the cost of your TV back in a year and a half. So it's
And I think we before we go to break, we got to circle back just a minute because you said it right in the beginning. And you know, I just had Congressman Neal on. He said this pair I'll paraphrase him because I don't want to try to quote him. But he said that you know there are those politicians who can't wait to run to CNN or Fox or MSNBC. He said, "I'm not one of them." You know, and we there's so many people in politics today who forgot, I think, and this is my opinion. Of course, everybody knows the views and opinions expressed on this program are mine and those of my guests. They in no way represent the Pittsfield School Department, School Committee, City of Pittsfield, the Mayor's Office, and or Peter Marchetti in the City Council. And that is, they're not, they forgot the people. I think some of them truly forgot why they're there. Maybe not locally or Boston, but definitely in D.C. I mean, I still communicate with folks there. I said to one guy, I said, "So how many weeks you got left?" He said, "Billy, I'm not counting weeks, I'm counting hours."
Yeah, I can believe it. And it's, you know, and we do have a lot of problems that are coming down. I mean, kids, we just passed money 2 weeks ago in the state budget to make sure that a kid gets a meal 3 times a day. And we found there, because the federal government has walked away from it. And today's world's so much different. A lot of those kids need a meal 3 times a day, and it's resulted in better work in school and things like that. You know, we have a SNAP program out there for our lower income people. That is being cut way back, and after the COVID emergency things went into place, the state of Massachusetts is stepping up to it and making sure that those poor people are and low to moderate income people are going to have an opportunity to get a decent meal. And the problem with the homeless, I mean, it's just going
And it's
out of hand.
complicated.
Yeah,
The problem
it's so
is not a
complicated.
quick. I'm so sick of people with a quick. Oh, give them a place to live. It's more than that, dude. We got to take a quick break. This is 89.7 WTBR FM on your radio dial. We are simulcasting on PCTV. I am honored, and I mean this very sincerely, and privileged to have a person I consider a friend, Representative John Barrett from North Adams. By now, if you're watching us, you understand that Representative Barrett, why I think the world of him so much is he's for us and he's not afraid to step up to the plate, whoever the other team is. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive with Bill Sturgeon here on WTBR. FM.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community Action Council. BCAC is in need of licensed contractors to service low-income clients who are in need of insulation and heating upgrades, offering a consistent project pipeline, quick payment turnaround, and more. Contact Julie for more information at 413-418-3664.
Missed an episode of your favorite show? Have no fear, because we have podcasts. Type in WTBRFM.com/podcast on your favorite browser and search for your favorite show. It's that simple.
And now back to the Morning Drive with Bill Sturgeon on WTBRFM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
All right, we're back. The good-looking guy you see there is not me. His name is John Barrett. He's got great hair, fatherly hair. I have no hair, but we're talking about really serious things today. I've known Representative Barrett for very many years when he was back to be a mayor. Here's the thing. There's a bunch of people in our delegation who are not afraid to stand up and swing the bat, no matter who's pitching the ball. And boy, do we need that right now. And we were just talking about school lunches and all that. John, I just want to go back about that. When this radio station was in Taconic High School, I could tell you right from my heart, Monday mornings, kids would run down the hallways, run off the bus into that cafeteria to get breakfast, and they'd eat like they probably hadn't eaten in the last couple of days. So I applaud the Commonwealth. I applaud the legislature. And I will say this. I've said it before. Maybe our United States Congress should look to the Commonwealth of Massachusetts governing bodies to figure out how we solve problems. It's called collaboration, coordination, talking to each other. And you guys, you made a budget, what, 2 years on Zoom? We've got a lot of money in the bank. There's a lot of positive things Massachusetts has done. I don't think the governmental bodies get as much credit as they should. That's just my opinion.
Well, it's, I don't know if it's not, we don't get enough credit, but I don't think we go into the business for credit. I have so many remarkable colleagues in the legislature that you know, are there for the right reason and not to, to do good, you know, and I believe me, I do not agree with a lot of their philosophies. But you know what I found in the Massachusetts House? There are many Republicans, but we get along and we find common ground and we try to work together to the best of our ability. And sometimes we don't like to take some votes that we have to, but you just have to take them. And it's not fun. But as long as you can explain them and you're doing it for the right reason, I think that's what it's all about. But philosophically, boy, it covers the whole spectrum. We got them way over on the left, way over on the right, and we have a lot of them in the middle. But in the end of the day, we all try to come together. And when that vote is taken afterwards, we don't go out of there screaming at one another and that kind of thing by any stretch of the imagination. That's the way I like to see government handle itself. I like to see it to the point. You know, I always tell the story of Silvio Conti and Tip O'Neill. I mean, they were closer than bark to a tree, and they would go at each other all day long on the floor of the Congress, the House of Representatives, and battle each other. The day that Silvio Conti came out of there dressed in an exterminator outfit, another day he had a pig mask on. I mean, the place went crazy, but he made his point, you know, and he always said, I care about my people. That's how he called his constituents, not my constituents, my people back home. And he voted as though he was voting their money and his money and how he would spend it. He would treat them in the way that he wanted to be treated. Was he always right? No, none of us are. But that's what we need so much in politics today. More of that so that people are getting things done. I mean, you know, Lyndon Johnson was considered to be a dinosaur at the time and this and that. But, you know, when America goes back and looks at his record, he's trapped by the Vietnam War and everything else. But, and that probably killed him. I mean, he had a son-in-law over there and everything else at that time. But he was listening to his advisors, and unfortunately, he had to make the decisions on some of these things based on what they were telling him, and that left a scar on his presidency. But he did so much for the less fortunate in this country,
and the civil rights bill through.
The civil rights bill, he got it done. I mean, he just in his war on poverty. You know, this is America. You know, no kid should go without food. Our seniors shouldn't have to, make a decision on is it money for heating or eating?
Right.
And those are the things that our country always stood proud of. Now we're more interested in finding out, what happened on January 6th. Well, you're not going to betray my eyes and my ears, as they say.
Right.
That's the sad part of it, and the attacks that are being made on all people in political life, especially those that have to make it. We're trying our best.
I
like to think we're trying our best. There's some that aren't, but
I think it's
just a different world.
I volunteer and do this. Not that that's a big deal. I enjoy doing it. you can't in the Polish Princess and I, there's some mornings that we just can't deal with it at breakfast. I mean, you had that guy on. I think that guy sucks. You suck. The show sucks. I mean, there's a negativity in the world today that if we're not careful, it will overtake the world. I try to stay on the positive side, not all the time. I mean, but there's so many, and you, we've got two groups of people that we have, two countries, China and Russia, who would love to see us stumble and fall. And I go back to, and you will remember this, Abraham Lincoln said, "We'll never fall from without, we'll fall from within." And boy, maybe it's me, but am I seeing it?
Yeah, it's sad in a way. And, you know, even what you see in Ukraine, we haven't sent our troops over there, thank God, but we certainly have supported them in every way that we possibly could. Because, you know, this isn't like Vietnam where, you know, the word was, and you know it well, we're living it, that that communism was going to take over the world. That didn't appear to go anywhere. But, you know, when you have a situation with what's going on with Russia, you could have Russia then taking Ukraine, and then he'll look, because they're just not making rational decisions. So you don't know what's going to happen, but not to support those families, and brings tears to your eyes when you see young children that are killed and never have an opportunity. And you, Bill, as a grandfather now, you see that little guy running around there, and you say, "My God, I want the best."
There he is.
I want the best for him, and then you see these terrible things for no reason. See, and that's what's crazy. And only those that have fought in war really understand, you know, how bad it is. And you're one of them. And it's just a terrible situation. But hopefully, you know, we got to look on the bright side.
Yeah.
You know, movie and that song. But
yeah, I think, too, one last thing on the dark side. If the legislature, because I don't think the Congress is going to do it because they can't figure out if they're going to get water from the water fountain or from their bottle. So, I mean, it's so confusing. But we have to help the people with diapers. I you know, now that I got this little guy, I cannot, John, nobody pays that WIC and all of that. They don't pay for diapers. They pay for formula and all this. Diapers are hugely expensive. We have Dalty Turner, who here, she runs a diaper project. I saw Smitty had a diaper drive in the house, but I hope that somehow down the road the legislature can put in some relief for diapers, because that's what my peers who have their kids having babies, or their grandkids having babies, they're buying, they're saying, "Holy God, Billy, you see the price of," and I do. You know, it's just one of those things I'm going to put on your plate when you don't have anything to do.
Well, you know, as they say, all people are created equal, but they're not going to be equal unless we make them equal at the day that they are born. And some of those kids that are coming out of the situations that they're coming out of, I want to give them every opportunity to succeed. And that's what's so important. And we can't lose sight of that, because some of them are never going to have a chance to succeed under today's conditions. And they should be given that opportunity.
You know, I ran the Violent Youthful Offender Program, and I can tell you, you're 100% correct. And it doesn't start when they're 12 or 14. It starts when they're 2 or 3 or 4.
Yeah, that's why I've always been a big proponent of, you know, early child education and even programs like Head Start, which came out of the Johnson administration many, many, many years ago, to give that kid a chance to succeed. And then, you know, you get into what their challenges are before them, no matter what family they come out of, and that is opioids and drug addiction. Yeah. and things like that. That is just an awful situation. And then, of course, we're dealing with so much in mental health today. You know, we passed a what I consider to be landmark legislation in the last session to deal with that mental health. And however, they didn't fund it. So maybe this session they'll fund it and make sure that people get the help that they need, because that is so important in today's society, especially for our kids. We've got so many kids that are in the teens that are committing suicide. And it's in it. Not only do they destroy their lives, they destroy the lives of so many others. So, and it's an illness and it's a sickness and it has to be dealt with. You know, than the common cold in some cases. It's got to be dealt with.
I may have misread this, but when you go over the budget, I skim because I don't have the patience to read the whole damn thing. But check and see that perhaps the governor has reduced money for early intervention. Boy, oh boy, I would testify before God and the Congress about that. My experience, most of them didn't get in. They got arrested and sent to the adjudicated adults and sent to the penitentiary at 16, 17. But most of them, their trouble started in the second and first grades.
Yeah.
Or earlier.
Yeah, you're just so correct there. And but you know, the governor submitted her budget. I don't know what it said in a lot of areas. A lot of it now becomes the House budget.
Right.
We will pass our version of it, and then it will go over to the Senate. They will pass their version of it, and then we will go to conference committee and work out the differences. But our school systems in Berkshire County look like they're going to be funded much better than what they have been.
Yes.
In the past 3 years, schools in my district didn't really benefit from the Equal Education Opportunity Act, you know, and we ranted and raved about it, and we've done better, but we can do even better.
Yeah.
As far as providing a quality education, no matter what your zip code is, every kid in the state should have the opportunity to a quality education. That's all. It's all we can do is provide them that opportunity, and every kid should receive it. And that includes after school programs. I mean, the most important part of a kid's day is between the hours of 2 and 6. We've got to make sure that we have programs available to help them. That's doing good. That's building a strong foundation for the future. You know, hear a lot of times, our kids are our future. Yes, they are. But let's make sure that they have the foundation to make it a good future.
Let's invest in that. Let's invest real money in that future, not just rhetoric. Because where did I see they were saying as far as math or something, we were below Estonia or so. You know, I have a lady that I've been associated with now for several years, the Polish princess, and she was a teacher for over 40 years. And, you know, nothing bugs me more than to hear people say it's the teacher's fault. You know, parents got to have a responsibility. You know, when I came home, my saintly Irish mother would say, you can go out and play till 4:30, be back at the dining room table at 4:30 doing your homework. And then after, she would check your homework. You know, if you had spelling words, she would go over the spelling word. Parents have a responsibility as much as the educational system. That's just my opinion. And I see teachers that, like I said to my wife when she retired, we just got about a $4,000 raise. She said, how's that? I said, we don't have to go over to the parent teacher store in New Lebanon or over in New York State anymore. But education is a challenging business today.
It sure is. I was an elementary teacher for 14 years, and I was there when Prop 2.5 came along and the cutbacks. And as an elementary teacher, we had to buy a lot of the supplies. And they did, even today they have to buy.
Oh, yes, they do.
Being a teacher today, I ran into some of my former colleagues and said to them, I said, boy, you got the toughest job going. and they work hard, and a lot of them are getting burnt out at a younger age with it now. So it's not an easy profession, but and I lived it with them, but nothing compared to today's world. It's just different.
I think one of the most insightful experiences I had was being able to go into Taconic, the old Taconic High School, to do this radio program in the mornings and see just the change. The quick story, and we'll get back to you. Two girls every day, pass them in the hallway, they'd be texting. And one day I just said, "Who are you texting? Every time I come by, you're texting. Who are you texting?" They pointed to the girl across the hallway. "Why don't you talk to her?" Anyhow, what do you think the most challenging things as we start to wind down? What do you think the most challenging things for the legislature coming up this year?
I think the uncertainty of things. You know, we hear there's going to be a recession. There isn't going to be a recession. Making sure that we can be able to pick up the programs that we've been funded for the last 2 and 3 years by the federal government. We've already started to, obviously lunch for kids in schools and the SNAP program, and also making sure that we can fund other social service programs that needed to be there. And in the middle class, making sure that they can continue to remain in the middle class. I think all of those are really challenges. There's going to be no new taxes coming from the state level, but we have to make sure that we fund the local communities to make sure they don't see tax increases because of local or because state aid isn't funding programs for them, whether it's in the schools or other areas to run their services. So because we've seen a lot of the impact go over the years to the local taxpayer, the property taxpayer, along those lines. And the other thing, you know, you get into the important things. Everybody's talking about the East-West and the West-East Railroad into Pittsfield. I've been talking about the Northern Tier Line, getting it into my district because it's far cheaper.
Yeah,
I believe it's, 1/10 the cost, maybe even a different figure than that, but so that we can provide decent trail service out here. And of course, broadband, making sure that we capitalize on the opportunity that's now there. It's a once in a lifetime opportunity. It's generational in one sense, and making sure we take advantage of that. And the other thing too is we've got to do a better job of economic development in Berkshire County. I think that's been a lot of smoke and mirrors, to be very honest with you. And we've got to get some concrete things and less showmanship, and making sure that we can rebuild the businesses in the economy here and expand them with small businesses.
Good.
Semiconductors, believe it or not, the thing that kept North Adams going and Sprague Electric for many, many years. Well, we don't want to see them just locating in Buffalo, New York with a big plant. We want to see them coming here into Berkshire County. It's a clean operation. It would be excellent for our area. And I believe we have a workforce here, and more people would come here because we're more affordable than most other places, even though prices have gone through the roof. But I think we have to do more on the economic development front, and not just throw money at crazy ideas, because I've seen a lot of that. And to be quite honest with you, I've spoken to those that are involved with it. I want to see more than, cover up empty window storefronts and things like that. Let's fill that. Let's start finding ways to do it. Let's find way of creating opportunities for everybody here. So that's what those are the things that are on my list of things that I'd like to see done.
And, the other thing we have here, and we often forget it, but they and the ability for it to shift gears is Berkshire Community College. We have that sterile manufacturing. Well, we didn't have people that were trained, so they got a program. You know what I mean? To go back to what you said, if we don't have people who can make chips, they can get a program within a year and a half to teach people to make chips. And And we have North Adams. Well, I call it North Adams State. I don't know what they call it now, but you know, I still call Jimmy Roberto mayor. So, but I can't thank you enough. And I would say this to the viewing audience, and I mean this, Representative Barrett. Oh, I definitely want to say this. Representative Barrett Veterans has signed on to, is the sponsor for that bill for veterans. You'll get taxed at a less your disability rate. And I would also say so has Senator Mark as a co-sponsor of it. So I guess what I want to say, and I've already let you know, I think the world of John Barrett. But here's the other thing. I think the world of him because he gets in down there and he swings the bat for us. Because I have relatives who were born and raised in Southie, and here's how the pecking order went. Number one, son, priest. Number two, son, cop. Number three, son, politician. So there you go. And that's pretty much the same with my cousins. They're all somewhere, they're retired. John Barrett, thank you so much for your time. I wish you the best. I'll be in touch with your Hallie, is it Hallie?
Callie. Callie with a K.
All right. Hey, listen, you're lucky I got the lolly right. But thanks so much, John. Best of everything. Stay healthy. And thanks for all you do for all of us.
Thank you. It was a joy. Pleasure being with you.
Be well, my friend.
You too.
All right. Here's some announcements. We've got the St. Joseph's Church on North Street. We'll be having Stations of the Cross every Friday at 6:30 on March 17th. They'll have the Stations of the Cross at 6:30. All are invited. There'll be music and words will be in Ukrainian. Isn't that cool? In a kind of a way of a Lenten piece. I really believe it is very strong Lenten piece. Wellness Day will be set Saturday, April 22nd. It's Berkshire Community College's Physical Therapist Assistant Club. They're going to do it. There's sponsorships available. There's all kinds of things. You can find out more by calling Michelle Darrow at Berkshire Community College. And if you can help in any way, that's cool. The number for Michelle is 413-236-4525. It's a great organization. And they're going to have a 5K run and a 1K walk. And I'm going to do the 1K sit and watch. So because, you know, how all of you know how well I'm into PT. March, there's some things going on the patriotic side of March. And one was the start of the Sinai Desert Peacekeeping Mission in 1982, Operation Iraqi Freedom in 2003. That's on the 20th. On the 25th, the National Medal of Honor Day. And on the 29th, something near and dear to my heart is National Vietnam War Veterans Day. So we're all pretty much into that. Coming up, two Slavic egg decorating workshops down at Bedford Hall. One is from, they're both on April 1st. One is from 10 to 12. The other is from 1 to 3. So, but you have to call down there, and I'll give you the number, 413-637-3206, and register for the event. Also coming up, Kevin O'Hara wrote a book many years back, The Last of the Donkey Pilgrims, Thursday, March 16th at 2 p.m. That will be at the March Lifestyle Series, The Residence at 89 South Street. You must make reservations at 413-445-4056, extension 180. That's about it. That's about, oh, no. Oh boy. Good thing I turned it over. St. Mary's in Lee, the school, they're going to be having bingo. And just to let you know, and that is it's March 11th. So that's coming right up. That's this Sunday, I believe, March 11th. They'll be having bingo and they'll be in touch. And also the coming up, there's, I have one for April too. Here it is. Here's the bingo is back March 11th, April 1st, May 13th, and June 10th. Doors open at 2 p.m. And there's all kinds of side games and all that. For more information, you can call 413-243-1079. Support Catholic schools and any private school as much as you can, because in my opinion, they're so worthwhile. Don't forget Fish Fry, Friday nights, Elks Club, all through Lent. Baked fish, it's terrific. To my listeners and viewers, God bless. Take care of each other. Why? Pretty simple. Each other, it's all we have. Really and truly. Thank you for listening. We'll catch up. Bye-bye.